Well, good morning, everyone.
There we are. Great to see you all with us today. We have many who are visiting with us, and we're so thankful you are here. We want you to know what we are as the North Dixon Church of Christ. We are a group of imperfect people who love and serve a perfect God. We want to do God's work in God's way, and if we can help you with that, if we can talk to you about your soul, if we can help you get into the Bible, we love to do that any opportunity we can. And so we hope that what we do here today will be an encouragement to you, and we can leave here coming away honoring and worshiping our God. So thankful for all the things that He's done for us. I don't know about you, but have you ever felt this way? You ever gone somewhere on a trip? I'm sure most times we see this is when we're at the airport or the bus station, and you see someone going on a large trip and their hands are full and their backs are packed full. They're kind of like a packed mule. And you see them when they finally get to their destination, they're exhausted because of all the baggage they had to take from one place to another. I don't know about you, but I think Americans as of a whole, and I know a lot in my family, we struggle with the idea of traveling light. We're going to go on a little week vacation or a weekend vacation, just a few days. And we're taking 2, 3, 4 bags just to make sure we're prepared for everything. So we have the rain boots and the snow coat. Even though it's July, you never know. And so we're taking everything. But what happens is that we get weary and we get tired and we oftentimes can't really enjoy ourselves because we wear ourselves out. There's a reason I'm doing this. I'm hoping it's because you're going to remember this for the next couple of weeks to come. I think this describes us as people living in this life. All of us, every single one of us, are carrying around baggage in this life, burdens. For some people, we're lugging around the baggage of guilt. Guilt about things that we've done, or guilt about things that maybe we should have done and we didn't. And it weighs heavy on our hearts and it causes us not to sleep as well. I think majority of us are carrying around the baggage of worry. I'm worried about our kids, and worried about our mates, and worried about the home, and worried about our health, and worried about food and the mortgage. And we carry around burden which lays heavy on our minds and on our hearts. Some of us are lugging around the baggage of fear, afraid. Afraid of the future, what's going to happen, or afraid of uncertainties in our country and in our homes. Afraid to change, afraid of change. There's a baggage of loneliness. The baggage of discontentment, baggage of bitterness. All of us, brethren, are good at carrying our own baggage in life. And I'm going to tell you, it wears down on us. It's no wonder at times we are so exhausted, we are so tired, we are so cranky and frustrated because we're carrying around burdens which weigh heavy on our hearts. It's no wonder that a lot of the health issues we see today are stress-related health issues. Heart issues, headaches, unable to sleep. It's no wonder. And it's no wonder then that sometimes we become so cranky with one another or bitter, or sometimes that we're just unmotivated to do the things that God wants us to do because we're too concerned or distracted with the cares of this world. And in fact, we remember what God said. What did I do with the ear? We remember what God said when He said, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you." In Colossians 3 and verse 16. Or in verse 2, He says, "Set your mind on things above." And we know what that teaches and we know what it says. But you know, we really struggle with this because our hearts are so full. And our minds are already so distracted and all the things that we're carrying through this life that really we have a hard time truly letting God's Word penetrate and fill our hearts and our minds. And so is it any wonder that we're dragging our feet through life, feeling exhausted because of all the baggage and burdens and cares that we have? You know, God doesn't want us to live this way. In fact, if you listen to the words of Jesus, He says, "Come to Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's a sweet invitation. He says, "I'm willing to lighten your load. I'm willing to carry your burdens, but you must come to Me." God would say the same thing through the psalmist in Psalm 55 and verse 22. He says, "Cast your burdens on the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken." God wants to carry your burdens. Peter would say that we need to cast our anxiety on Him because He cares for you. And so we get the theme. God doesn't want you to live that sort of life. Tired, worried, concerned, wearing all the baggage upon you. He wants to lighten your load. Then the question is how? Isn't that the question? We know God doesn't want us to live cared of, or I wouldn't say carefree. He wants us to live carefree. He doesn't want us to live burdens, though. He doesn't want us to carry all these worries and concerns and stresses and burdens in this life. So our question is, how can God lighten our load? And the answer is found in a passage that I'm sure all of you will know as soon as we begin. Many of you, we don't even have to open our Bibles, and you can already start to read it. In fact, we just sang it. It begins, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me, and Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Brethren, the answer to living a burden-free life, the answer to giving your cares upon the Lord, is found in this sweet, sweet psalm. So that's what I want to look at with you today. I want to talk about traveling light. Traveling light through this world. Giving our burdens and our cares to God. I want you to notice just a few things about this psalm before we get down into our study. First of which is that the psalm that we just read and the psalm that many of you just sang, it's a psalm that gives you two perspectives. We get our perspective and then we get God's perspective. It talks about us as a people, as individuals, and the journey we go through in life. We're in the green pastures and then by the stilled waters and the paths of righteousness, and sometimes we're through those shadowy valleys. But it's describing our walk through this life. But then it shows you God, the activity of God. And you notice all the things that it says He does. He leads, He guides, He restores, He protects. And what it reminds us is that even though we have different places to go in this life, we're never truly alone. God is there and He is active in every one of our lives. I want you to notice something though. I want you to notice the very first phrase of this psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd." I want you to notice some things He's saying. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Did you notice that? It's not that the Lord once was a shepherd, or the Lord has been a shepherd before. It begins with an absolute. He is my shepherd, which means He is able and strong enough to handle all the responsibilities a shepherd must handle. You notice He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." He doesn't just say the Lord is a shepherd. The Lord has been a shepherd, or the Lord is the shepherd. He's my shepherd. It's a personal psalm. In fact, when you read this, where it came from, this is a psalm between David and his God. Personal, intimate, the two together, one-on-one. And so if you want to get the best out of reading Psalm 23, you read it that way. It's just not God and His people. It's God and Jordan shouts. And He's tending to my needs. Because He's my shepherd. And then that's our last word. The Lord is my shepherd. I think you and I are at a great disadvantage in understanding this. Because I believe most of us, on a large sense, have not spent any kind of real time around sheep or shepherds. Not too many of us here in Chattanooga have sheep for pets. And even if you go to a petting zoo or a feeding zoo, sometimes you get to see them, but just for a moment. We really are at a disadvantage when the Bible talks about sheep and talks about shepherds. But here God calls Himself a shepherd. And in many places, like Psalm 100, verse 3, He calls us sheep. He says that we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Now, I was able in Indiana a little bit to spend time with a farmer who had a lot of sheep. And I certainly learned a lot. I don't necessarily know what I learned, but I learned about sheep. And I learned about how smelly and hard to take care of they are. But really what I learned about sheep is, I believe, what God is trying to get us to see. Sheep are not very bright. I think that's described a lot of us sometimes. Sheep are pretty defenseless, you know. You get a fierce animal, it's going to balk at it, and then it's going to try and run. That's all it really can do. I think there's a reason God didn't call us tigers in the midst of a jungle. Or He didn't call us lions in the midst of the safari. He says, "You're sheep." Because sheep have a lot of needs. They need to be fed, they need to be watched over, and they need to be cared for. And that's what God wants us to remember. We need Him. We can't live without Him. I think sometimes we get this whole thing around the wrong way. We see the Lord is my shepherd and I have everything I need. Got my 401k, got my savings, got my family, got my roof taken care of. The Lord's my shepherd, but I'm fine. But God says, you're sheep. And I want you to recognize that you can't go through this life. You cannot make it home without me. And that's why He says, not only are you sheep, but I am your shepherd. Not only does it mean that He loves His sheep, but it means that He is the one who will lead and provide for those who are His. Wonderful psalm. I love this psalm. So I want you just to kind of explore it with me and look at just a few things as to how it is you and I can lighten our load, how it is we can travel light, giving our burdens to God. And it begins with the first phrase, understanding that I have all that I need because God provides. I have everything that I need because God provides. The phrase is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't know about you, but when you read that, that's kind of tough to understand. The Lord's my shepherd, but I'm not going to want. I want things all the time. I'm hungry and I want food. I'm thirsty and I want a drink. I'm tired and I want to lay down. We are built with wants. And so reading this sometimes makes it seem like that sounds impossible. You know, we all have wants. Teenagers want freedoms and phones and space away. And parents want quiet and they want obedience. And elders want members who are here and connected to the Bible. We all have wants. And what I want you to see is that God's saying, it's not that you're never going to have a want for anything, that you're not going to want things. God made you with wants. That's the way you're wired. It's the way that you're designed. When you're tired, you're going to want to go to sleep. If you're hungry, you better want some food. What this is saying is that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. I shall not have any needs. God will provide for me. That's what He's saying. God will give me all that I need. And that's what you say, that's what you see in the first few phrases. God gives me rest. He takes me to the green pastures and I'm able to lie down and to rest. He gives me nourishment. I'm able to eat in the green pastures and drink from the still waters. He gives me strength. He restores my soul. When I'm down and discouraged, it is God who strengthens me and builds me up and gives me encouragement. And He gives me direction. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. God is directing my life. He tells me how to live, where to go, who to be. That's why the Bible says that it's a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. God is leading us, guides us, feeds us, protects us. So when He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, what it means is that God will provide for you. Now then, I think we struggle with this. At least I know I do. Because when it comes to my needs and all the things that I need in this life, I get really worried about it. And they weigh on my mind. I need to make it through the end of the month. I need to be able to have food. And we worry about health. And we worry about finances. And we worry about our families. And we worry about our jobs. And we worry about our homes. And we worry about our church. And we worry about all the needs that come into this life. How am I going to make it to the end of this week? How are we ever going to make it to the end of this month? What happens if one of our kids goes to the hospital and gets sick? We are consumed with our needs, wanting to make sure everything's going to be all right. But what the shepherd is saying is, don't worry. Don't stress. Trust in me to provide for you. In fact, in your Bibles, look with me in the book of Matthew chapter 6. In a very familiar passage where Jesus says the exact same thing about learning to trust in God who will provide for all of your needs. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25, it says, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, or nor for your body as to what you will put on it. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air in verse 26, that they do not sow nor reap, gathering into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more than they?" Verse 27, "And you who are being worried, can you add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow, and they do not toil, nor do they spin. But I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these," not even Solomon. Verse 30, "If God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into a furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Don't worry then," he says, saying, "what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." What is Jesus saying here? He says, you got a lot of needs. You need food, you need clothing, you need provisions. But don't worry about it. Don't stress over it. Don't let it keep you from being who you ought to be. Don't let it weigh on your mind. Don't let it stress you down. Don't let it keep you from sleeping. Instead, trust in the God who said He will provide for you. God knows what you need, and He will give you exactly what it is that you need. He will care for you. Look what Paul says in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 19. My God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. God provides for us. He provides our physical needs, from our daily bread to our money to our homes to our cars. He provides our spiritual needs, the things that we really long for. Love, acceptance, forgiveness, and grace and comfort. God will provide for you. So perhaps the reason that so many of us are so bogged down and tired and stressed is because we really have a hard time trusting that God is going to provide. You ever think about that? We think, I'm the one who has to get it figured out. We're reaching near the end of the month, and I don't know how we're going to do this. Maybe I have to go get a third job or a fourth job, and I don't know where the food's going to come from. Or have you ever thought that God will provide? Trust in Him? So maybe the issues we have in life is not necessarily just the troubles, but maybe it's a lack of trust. Lack of trust in God who said He will give you what it is He will give. Now I need to clarify myself because I can already see some furrowed brows. I need to make sure you understand what I'm not saying. Part of the reason I think sometimes we get burdens that we forget all good things come from God. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with Him there's no variation or shifting shadow. I need to clarify what I'm not saying. What I am not saying is that if you become a Christian and you belong to God, you are going to be happy, healthy, handsome, and have a lot of money. Wouldn't that be great? That's not what I'm saying. And nor am I saying if you are a Christian, you're never going to have hardships, that God will only give you good times, blue skies, and rainbows. I'm really not saying that. In fact, part of the way God provides for you and cares for you spiritually is through sending you into a storm. That's what James would say in James chapter 1 and verse 2. He says, consider all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. How does someone get to the point of a character which lacks in nothing? He has to go through a storm. He has to go through trials. Do you see, brethren, I'm not saying you're not going to have tough times. And I'm not saying that you don't have to do anything. I'm not telling you that you need to go home and quit your job because God's going to send down a basket of goodies with a raven from heaven. He's going to give you which. I'm not saying that. Because the Bible teaches in the book of 1 Timothy 5 that we need to provide for our families. And Paul said in the book of 2 Thessalonians 3 that if you don't work, you don't eat. You've got to work. But what I'm saying is that I think sometimes the problems and the stresses we have is because we fail to trust in God who said that He will provide. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Do you believe that phrase? Do you trust in your shepherd when He says, I will give you what you need? Or are you one who tries to figure it all out on your own? So part of the way of living a burden-free life, of lightening the load, is letting go of the needs and the cares in your life and learning to trust in God who said He will care for you and provide for you. I think that's a good thing to learn. Secondly, I will have no fears because it's God who protects. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Our lives are shaken by fear. They're really directed by fear. Think of Peter, who was on the water in Matthew 14, and it says, when he saw the waves, he became afraid, and he began to sink. Think of Elijah in the book of 1 Kings 19, who after Jezebel put a death sentence on his head, went and hid in the cave. I think of Adam, who after he sinned, heard God coming in the garden and hid in the bushes because he was afraid. I think we become a cowardly people sometimes, afraid of things. You know, fear is paralyzing. It keeps us from doing the things we need to do and being the people we need to be. And I'm going to tell you, we can fear a lot of things today. Afraid about our futures. afraid about this country. What's going to happen with this country? What about the economy? Is it ever going to change? What if we go into another war? We fear. We fear for our families. What happens if our loved one gets sick? What happens if one of my loved ones pass away? What am I going to do? We fear. We become afraid. But did you notice what the psalmist said? Did you notice what David said? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. I will not fear. I will not be afraid. How do you get to that point in your life where even if death is before you, hey, I'm not going to be afraid? For you are with me. You are with me. I don't have to be afraid if I come to the understanding that God is with me wherever I go, whatever I am. And so this is true when we talk about death. When we talk about the death of a loved one, or we talk even about our own death, it is true that we don't have to be afraid. I understand how very painful death can be. Death hurts. It hurts very bad. Brother Bob is here and has recently understood this. Many of you who are here understand this. Death stings. Naomi, in the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 20, says, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty." She is a woman who was mourning over the loss of her husband and her kids. Or you think of Job, who says, "Let the day perish on which I was to be born, and the night which said a boy is conceived be rue the day that he lived." Death hurts. It hurts to say goodbye. It hurts when you lose someone that you love. But I'm going to tell you, brethren, I don't have to be afraid of losing my loved ones when they are with the Lord. I know that sounds strange sometimes. Because I don't know about you, I got a lot of plans for me and my Holly. I got a lot of things I want to do. I got a lot of places I want to go. And death is not on the menu right now. I got too much planned for us. And so there's a selfish part of me in which it would hurt to lose someone when I'm not ready for it. But even if it were to happen, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to lose them. I'm not afraid to face the day when I have to close the grave. Because in Jesus, I know that God is with them. Even in death. That's what we read in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In the fourth chapter, beginning in verse 13, 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning in verse 13, he says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as to the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus." Verse 17, "Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord." Where will we be? With our Lord. I am with you always. I will not fear, for you are with me. I don't have to be afraid of losing my loved ones, because if they belong to Jesus and they belong to God, it's not really goodbye. It's just, "I'll see you later. And I've entrusted them to the hand of my shepherd, who I know will take care of them." We fear this. This weighs on us. Because can I take this a step further? We don't have to be afraid of our death and my end if I am with Jesus. Do you know what that means? Going to the hospital, getting the test results back, hearing the bad news from surgeons and from doctors, it's okay. It's okay. I don't have to let it weigh on me and bear me down and cause me to worry and stress and doubt, because I know. I know that even if today is my last day, if I must go to the hospital and hear the horrible news that I have a terminal cancer which cannot be healed, I know I will be okay. I know I will be taken care of, because He says, "You are with me." That's why Paul could say, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain," because even in death, I know my Savior cares and will be there for me. Don't you want that kind of living? That even in a moment's notice when things change for you dramatically, you will not be afraid. You will not be weighed down by the cares of this life, but you will live in faith, triumphant in your God, because He is with you. and you trust in Him. It's true in death, and it's true in persecution. That's why He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That may sound strange, right? I don't want to eat with my enemies, and I really don't want them to see me eat. It kind of sounds strange. It's a strange phrase. He's talking about how even though you have enemies all around you, God is still able to provide for you. So He prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies. You can eat safe and sound because God will protect you. I don't need to be afraid of being different, brethren. I don't have to be afraid of losing some friends. I don't have to be afraid of losing some opportunities. I don't have to be afraid of allowing things pass me by because I know that my God will protect me. That's why Jesus would say in Matthew 10 and verse 28, don't fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul. Rather, fear Him who is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. Remember who you are. Remember your God. Don't be afraid of man. Don't be afraid of what He can do. Paul reminds you that there's going to be a time when you ought to expect things to be strange for you. He says, don't be alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but salvation for you. And that too from God. For to you it's been granted for Christ's sake not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake, experiencing the same conflict you saw in me and now here to be in me. Listen to me for a moment. Should we really be surprised? Should we really be surprised when we show up at work and we don't use a certain language and we leave and we don't go to the lake on the weekends because we're coming to services? Should we really be surprised when people think that's strange? I mean, really, should we? Should we be surprised when some of our neighbors look at us weird because we don't do certain things that the world does? Should we really be surprised when we're not going to support someone who's doing something we know is wrong? Should we be surprised to find that sort of resistance? Should I really be surprised when I have to let some friendships go because they're not going to help my walk with the Lord? Should I really be surprised when I go home and my family's not supportive of my new devotion to Jesus because they couldn't care less? That's what keeps us, brethren. I'm afraid. I'm afraid to tell Mom and Dad. I'm afraid to be who I am at work because I don't know what they're going to say. I don't know how my boss will react. I'm afraid to tell my neighbor. I'm afraid to say anything about Jesus to my neighbor because I just don't know what he's going to say or how he's going to respond or what she will do. I'm just too afraid. But then I think of people who just marvel me. People who are here for that when they were 16 years old, were kicked out of their house, suitcases on the porch, because they were baptized into Jesus and they would not compromise on their faith. I'm amazed at people who would quit their jobs, not be fired, they would quit their jobs because their boss told them to do something unethical and they stood for Jesus. I'm amazed at those people because they live without fear. They live unafraid because they remember even if the worst situation would happen, you would lose your life. You are not alone. There is a God who will protect you and will be with you. Which means I can be who I want to be. And I can be who God wants me to be. I can be brave and bold and courageous, and I can talk about how much I love Jesus to any certain stranger because I know I'm taken care of. I don't want to live with that baggage. I don't want to walk through this life afraid to be who God wants me to be, afraid of whatever uncertainty comes before me. Because the psalmist says, I'm with you. That's what God says, I'm with you. And I have hope. I have hope. You know, I think one of the greatest burdens we carry in this life is it's guilt. I talked with someone here not long ago about that. I think one of the greatest problems we have is us. God's willing to forgive you. Your brethren are willing to forgive you. We just can't forgive ourselves. We wear our sins on our sleeves for everyone to see. Liar. Hypocrite. Drunkard. Lazy. Cruel and mean. Our sins are before us. Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever had the days where you know you want to do what is right, and you know you want to obey God, and you want to do the good things, and you don't want to sin, but then you do. And that night you commit before God, I'm not going to do it again, please forgive me. But before you know it, the next day comes, and as much as you don't want to do it, and as much as you try, you go back and do the same thing over and over again. And a week passes and you say, what's wrong with me? Why can't I get this right? And guilt weighs on our heart. We find ourselves in our beds, unable to sleep, tossing and turning, because we think, how in the world would God ever forgive someone like me? I can't get anything right. I sin all of the time. How would God ever save me? But that's when you have the phrase, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Not just good days, not just Sundays. The goodness and the grace and the mercy of God will follow us all the days of my life. Which means the days I do real good and I don't sin, and the days when I make some mistakes, and the days that are real bad, the mercy of the Lord is day by day. That's why I love phrases like the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 16. Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. I love Lamentations 3, and verse 22 and 23. He said, the Lord's loving kindness or His mercies indeed never cease, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. Have you thought about this wonderful verse? We sing it in that song, great is Thy faithfulness. That just as the morning is new and you rise out of bed with a new day before you, God's mercies are new for you. They don't cap out. They don't reach an end. His mercies are new. He is ready and willing to forgive you of your sins. That's what the psalmist said in Psalm 86 and verse 5. For You, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon You. God is ready and willing to forgive you. I think sometimes the burdens we wear in this life are self-imposed. We just become so guilty and we fail to remember that God is a good and a patient and a gracious God. And every day He extends to you mercy. He extends to you grace. He's ready to forgive you if you'll just come and seek His forgiveness. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Isn't that a blessed thought? Every day, even though I make mistakes upon mistakes, my God is ready. My God is prepared to forgive me. It reminds us what Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 8, that God's on our side. If we can say these things, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? God is on your side. God wants you to make it to heaven. I understand sometimes when you sin, God seems like the big judge on the throne with the big gavel, and He's just ready to condemn you down to a place you don't want to go. I understand. I've been there. I understand that when you sin, it seems like God's that cop in the bushes. He's got His radar out and He's ready to catch you and all the things that you've done that are wrong. But I think oftentimes we need to remind ourselves that God doesn't want you to fail. God doesn't want you to lose. God's not counting all of your issues. God wants you to win. God's on our side and He's ready. He is willing to forgive you. In fact, just look at one more passage with me, if you will. We'll kind of end here. The book of 1 John chapter 1. What is great about the passage here that John begins his letter with is that he reminds us about the goodness and faithfulness of God as demonstrated through His forgiveness. And it says in verse 7 of 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. He says, if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. What does He say? The blood of Jesus cleanses us from the sins you committed last week. Well, no. The blood of Jesus cleanses us, brethren, from all sins. And if you don't hide from your sins and run from your sins
and pretend that you have not sinned, but if you'll be honest and humble and take your sins before God and say, I have sinned, will you please forgive me as I turn from them? He's faithful and righteous to forgive us. That's wonderful.
Because how this all ends, how this beautiful psalm ends, as one of the most precious phrases in the Bible. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God has allowed it to be that you and I can shed the burdens of the guilt of our sins upon the death of Jesus and to live with Him forever. But you notice where He says it? And I will dwell in heaven. And I will dwell in the kingdom on high, Zion on the mountains.
He doesn't say that. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. I'm going to go to God's home. That's where I'm going. Home. I love home. Home is where the heart is. Dorothy said there's no place like home. And Paul said that we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So don't carry around doubt. And don't carry around guilt. Listen to me, if you are here today and you have that upon yourself, guilt from maybe something you've done, guilt from maybe something you should have done and you haven't done it, God's told you to be obedient and you haven't, and you've been living day by day carrying the guilt of knowing what you've done or not done and you need to be forgiven, shed that weight, brethren. God's ready to forgive you if you'll just come to Him and seek His forgiveness. Doesn't this sound like a good way of living to you? Getting rid of all the burdens and the cares of the life that you carry around and giving them to God. Not concerned about my needs. Not concerned about the future or all the things I can be afraid of. Not concerned about if I'm going to be saved or not. Because I know in Jesus, I can shed those weights. I can give those burdens to God and I can live a lighter load, a lighter life. And I'll tell you what, if you don't, you're going to miss out on a lot of stuff. When my Holly, she and I were dating, we weren't engaged yet, but she used to sing for the University of Cardinal Singers, the choir there. And being the good boyfriend I was, I went to support her just about as often as I could. But I remember one occasion very well. She went, and I didn't remember anything that they sang. Because at the time I was preaching and I had a lot on my mind. I knew what I wanted to preach on, but I wasn't too sure. So I went there and I sat about halfway back. But in one lap I had my sermon. And then the other one I had a book. And I had my phone to make sure I could read and I could do my things. And the whole time I missed a beautiful concert. And really what I missed was the opportunity to support my soon-to-be wife. Because I was burdened down with all the cares that I had in my mind. But isn't that us, brethren? I wonder how many sunsets over these beautiful Rocky Mountains or starry nights that have appeared before us have we missed because we've had too much on our mind and we've missed an opportunity to thank God for the beautiful creation. I wonder how many services we've come into and instead of singing with all of our hearts, instead of thinking about the Lord Jesus and His death, instead of giving God our greatest in praise, we've been here, but we're not really here because we're so burdened and so weary. Maybe we're too tired to give our best. Maybe our mind is just too distracted because we have too many cares. I wonder, brethren, how many open doors have been before us. People who need to hear the gospel, people who need to be saved. But I've had too much going on in my life, way down too heavy, and I've let them go. God doesn't want you to live that life. Listen again. Come to me, O ye who were weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Will you do that? Will you trust in your God and let go? Will you lighten your load and trust in your shepherd to lead you home? Just open your psalm books, please, the song of invitation. Which is exactly that same passage. I want to say one thing before we do, as a means of invitation. Jesus called Himself the shepherd, which was in Brian's first reading. He did a great job. He said in John 10, verse 10 and 11, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, and I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd.
The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I want you to notice just a few things from this phrase. I'm going to pass it on so I can get my clicker going. Jesus is our shepherd. He offers to you not just life, because there's all sorts of life. There's a crummy life. There's sometimes using a subpar life. He says, I offer to you the abundant life. But did you notice what it cost him? I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The ultimate price for bearing your burdens was Jesus upon the cross of Calvary. That is the reason I don't have to go to bed afraid of a fiery condemnation, because I know my Savior has died for me. And what He offers to everyone here is not only that light way of living, giving Him your burdens and your cares, but He offers to you that life abundant, free, wonderful, peaceful. He offers to you the home of God, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's only found in Jesus. That's only found in your shepherd. You try to get there by yourself, you won't make it. You try and fix all your problems in your life on your own, you're going to fail. But if you are willing to believe in Jesus, you're willing to quit that sinning, you're willing to confess you do believe in Him, and to wash all those away in baptism, He offers to you a precious, precious promise. You, even you, can live in God's house forever. Can we help you with that? Can we help you shed some of your weight of sin? Can we help you be right with God? Let's do that today. Come on forward as we stand and as we sing.